Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Welcome back, everybody, to the radio program, Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. You're listening to AFR. We appreciate you listening. I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Vitagliano and Steve Jordahl. Steve's with OneNewsNow.com.
Good morning.
And Steve and Fred work together. Fred's they do a tag team during the break here, the news break. So Walker's not here today for you Walker fans.
I'm one of those, by the way.
Walker fans?
Yeah, yeah.
Walker has his fans.
He does, rightfully so.
And
he's usually a victim. He's usually victimized by his own father.
Occasionally, maybe.
Abused?
Yes,
verbally abused.
Verbally mocked.
Well, I mean belittled. Nothing. I mean nothing by it. Simply,
if you can't victimize your own son, who can you victimize? You know what I'm saying?
He takes it pretty well.
You know, that young man is no snowflake either.
Given what
he's
doing,
as well as he gets.
Given what he's doing this week and why he's not here, yeah. I'm thinking in about 20, 30 years when you maybe not wanting to do your own housework renovations, he's going to come in quite handy for you.
30 years from now, I'll be in somebody's home.
Maybe his
being fed
I'm
tapioca pudding.
Yeah, 55, 85. I'm not gonna be
85. No, you 85.
I'm just saying, there's gonna come a time when you're gonna not want to do your own renovations or housework, or that my dad reached that point at one point.
And you got to pay someone. At some point, you got to pay someone.
I don't do
or you bring your son over, who is now becoming an expert at this.
Yeah,
stuff.
He's gonna be going. I've done that enough, Dad.
God has given me things I can do.
Yes,
and gifts. But that kind of manual labor, I can do what I'm told. Tim, go pick up those bricks.
Mm-hmm.
And even that, I balk after an hour. But I can do what I'm told. I can pull nails. I can think. But I can't. I don't walk into a room and so go, man, I can envision this happening. I can see that over there and this over here, and let's get started. There's none of that in me.
Just tell me how much
the house costs, and I'll pay for it.
Yeah, and I do like working out in the yard, and I get some plans for some flower beds and stuff like that. I like that kind of
stuff.
You
can see that.
Yeah, I like organizing the house, but in terms of tearing out the walls and redoing
HGTV
this.
Guy
no,
or,
yeah, I don't do that.
Yeah. Okay. You, Steve?
No.
Just tell me how much it costs.
Exactly.
I can
then
learn.
Let's see if we can argue. We can debate that.
That's the kind of thing where I think I could learn that. I could learn how to do that, but I've got one lifetime. You know what I'm saying? Do I want to spend time to get good at that?
Here's the sad thing is that my first job in high school was working at a hardware store, working in the plumbing and electrical department. I learned a ton about plumbing and electrical. I know how to do a lot of stuff.
I like doing plumbing.
I know how to do a lot of stuff. I'm off by a quarter inch here and there, and it looks awful every time. So
that's me too.
All right. So anyway, we bring that all up because Walker's Walker's doing
demo work.
Demo today. Maybe we're telling too much of his private business here, but he's doing demo work on his home that he's moving into. So he's not here today with us. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Steve Jordahl, what do you got?
A couple things coming up. Let me just start by quoting the new Saudi crown prince. His name is Mohammed bin Salman. This guy is making some changes in his country, and let me give you his last quote. He said, has a message for Palestinian leadership. He says, agree to come to the negotiation table or shut up and stop complaining.
Wow.
Yes, that's awesome.
Was that after the wrestling match?
It was. It was after the wrestling match.
The Saudi crown prince, the new one, he is trying to bring more Western ideas into his country, which is going to be welcome by a lot. Especially the younger generation, But he's going to be met with some resistance because the older crowd in Iran, in Saudi Arabia,
and the radicals,
are going to say this is he is moving them away from true Islam.
Right.
So it's going to be, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how that goes. But the fact that he would openly, basically, rebuke the Palestinian leadership, which, by the way, he's absolutely correct. And everybody, most everybody knows that the Palestinian Authority, you have Abbas, and then you have Hamas.
Which Mahmoud Abbas is the Palestinian.
Yeah, he's the more legitimate thought of a representative of the Palestinian people, but most people say Hamas really runs the show. And Hamas is basically a
terrorist group.
The mob over there. So they... Anyway, so there's a lot of people who think, I don't know, people are going to say, duh, Tim, you think so? There's a lot of people who think that these leaders of the Palestinian people aren't really interested in peace. Their hatred for the Jews is so much that they want to see them driven into the sea, and that's all they're interested in. And any monies given to these groups is not monies that will be given to help the Palestinian people per se. It will only be used as a gang uses money, that is to support the top two or three people in the gang and their lifestyle. That's what happened with Yasser Arafat. Remember when he died
with billions or something?
Yeah, and Swiss bank accounts they discovered. So anyway, but that the Saudi prince would openly rebuke those. What did he say again?
Well, he said, this is the whole quote, in the last several, and this, by the way, he was, it's just now coming to light, but he said it in March before the wrestling match. In the last several decades, the Palestinian leadership has missed one opportunity after another and rejected all the peace proposals it was given. It's about time the Palestinians make the proposals and agree to come to the negotiation table or shut up and stop complaining.
Well, wow. Okay.
And just to, other kind of breaking news, within the next hour, it could be as soon as the next 15 or 20 minutes, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is going to make a televised announcement from Israel in English about disclosing dramatic news regarding the nuclear agreement with Iran. Now, I don't know what this is going to be.
And what time is that announcement from Netanyahu?
Well, it was about 11 o'clock Central Time. It was within an hour.
Okay.
So it could be sooner than that. So we will be following that at One News Now. I don't know what it's going to be. I know that they made some Israel over the weekend, I guess, had some made an attack. Again, I think it was in Syria. Overnight strike in Syria, but he's not going to address that. He's going to address
Iran. And now, hasn't Netanyahu said that if Israel is attacked by Iranian-backed forces in Syria, Israel will not only respond to those, but they will attack Iran?
Tell you, you know, you don't mess with President Trump. You don't mess with Benny.
Right.
Either.
Right.
BB is, he's
more. It's an Elton John song, I think.
Well, yeah. BB Netanyahu.
Benny and his Jets.
Exactly.
Come on. Give me some credit for that. That's a fist bump there. Come on.
Yeah, I don't know what to think of that. Really. I'm having to process your joke. But Steve likes it a lot. Yeah.
Yes, he does.
He's still going over here. He's still laughing.
I'm sorry.
But Benny and his Jets.
You don't have to apologize.
Okay.
Talking about the end of the world, and you guys are making fun of it. I'm just kidding.
Well, if you can't laugh at the end.
I'm just kidding that you're just kidding.
Yeah, right.
If you can't, what did you say?
If you can't laugh at the end.
Oh,
you know,
man.
That's the point.
I tell you what, in all seriousness, I think the U.S. here is, I'm talking about with respect to, you know, you've already got Trump, President Trump saying, you know, he's not going to continue. He wants out of the Iranian nuclear deal, right?
Mm-hmm.
Can he decide that by himself?
Yes, because Obama decided. President Obama decided it by himself. It was never.
It wasn't a treaty.
It was never signed off on by the Senate.
Okay.
So if President Obama can set it up, President Trump can
Well, of course, some judge comes and says he can't.
Yes.
That's what I said earlier. The other thing is here, who knows? I don't know. We're not privy to all the information or smart enough to figure out whether Iran is doing what they said they would do, whatever it is that they said they would do exactly.
We might be finding out in about 15 minutes.
That's true. I will say this, too, though. To President Obama's, I consider it to be shame. You know, he sent that plane that was not supposed to be publicized, loaded down with cash, euros and dollars, from somewhere in Europe to Tehran.
Was it Switzerland, I think.
Was it $700 million? How much was that? Do you remember?
I don't remember.
I'll look it up.
Look it up. But, I mean, it was sent in a jet that was unmarked in the middle of the night. I mean, it sounds like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Did he ever have to explain himself on that?
I don't $400 million in cash.
And then while the plane was, where they were waiting for the plane to land, they were holding the American hostages on the same runway, saying, once this thing lands, then your American hostages can come home.
I'm sorry, that was the earlier report. It was $1.7 billion made entirely in cash. I think the $400 was on one plane. An initial 400 million of euros, Swiss francs, and other foreign currency was delivered on pallets January 17, the same day Tehran agreed to release four American prisoners.
So we paid ransom.
Yes, we did.
For those Americans, I think that's against American policy.
Right.
We don't pay ransom for hostages. But I'm saying that was done in the dark of night. And did President Obama ever have to explain that?
Well, he did explain it. His explanation was that, and the rest of it, by the way, I was just reading this story from the Los Angeles Times. Some of this I had forgotten because this was back in 2015 or 16, anyway, is that the remaining $1.3 billion represented estimated interest on the cash. Now, right. this was according, I don't know, I'm still trying to remember some of the details. This was a deal, this was money that we seized, I think, after the overthrow of the Shah of Iran, mm-hmm. and we froze it, we held it because they kidnapped. Remember, they held whatever it was, how many hostages.
It goes back that far.
And so President Obama was saying, I am simply returning what we owed the government. It was the government of the Shah of Iran, who was in charge, pro-Western, and interest. The fact of the matter is, though, of course, we didn't owe money to the mullahs who took over.
Who took it.
If anything, we owed it to the previous government, which was overthrown.
And you'll remember, I think the reason why he said he sent it in cash was because he said that because of the sanctions on Iran, we no longer have any relationship with Iranian banking. We can't cut them a check because we don't have any banks in common.
That's all good and fine, but he why wasn't it just sent on a plane straight up in the middle of the day? And have a press conference to explain what it was about. Why?
Because it looked like a payoff to get those prisoners.
But anyway, we'll be interested to see what the prime minister of Israel has to say. Is this coming up within the hour?
It supposedly is. Yes, it reportedly is. Yes.
You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim with Ed and Steve. Appreciate you listening to AFR. You can download our app and listen to AFR anywhere in the world on your cell phone or your iPad or your similar device. Just download the app from the app store that you have on your phone. And as I say, it takes you about 1 minute to download that app. Then listen to AFR anywhere in the world, anywhere you travel, and you can get it clear as a bell that way. So take advantage of that. Yes, Steve. What's next?
So much of the stories that we are bringing to the table lately have to do with this divide within the American people. The Russia investigation is all about that. If you are for Trump, you think he's innocent. If if you're against him, everything looks bad. And I tell you, Matt Walsh, who I've quoted here before, had a great quote, and I'm going to read what he said on Twitter, and then I've got two examples, one from either side of the aisle, I'd like to bring to the table. Matt Walsh said, "Americans seem to hate each other because we don't have anything at all in common with one another. There's no single uniting values or principle in our culture. Nothing holds us together, no defining characteristic. As I've said in the past, we are the United States no longer." And just as an example, there is a gentleman who worked for the George W. Bush White House. His name is Richard Painter. He was the he ran the ethics. He was a lawyer, an ethics lawyer in the Bush White House. He has filed papers to run for the U.S. Senate from Minnesota. But listen to what he says.
"We need to stand firm against what President Trump is threatening to do to our country. And the only alternative this fall is going to be to vote for Democrats. The Republican Party has demonstrated that it's not willing to participate in our democratic system. The Republicans insist if you're going to run for national office, you must be loyal to President Donald Trump. Two Republican senators have been pressured out, sitting senators, because they would not support Donald Trump. This is wrong. This is not the America I want to live in. This is not the America I want my children to live in."
Again, that's former Republican and former Bush ethics lawyer Richard Painter. You want the next example?
Sure. Okay. I'm not sure with that example. He just, in other words, all Republicans
He's a Republican that hates Donald Trump so much that he's running as a Democrat. And you know what everything that the Democrat Party, by the way,
going to run in Minnesota. Yeah,
the claim that they're forcing senators out because they demand support for Donald Trump. Let's talk to Nancy Pelosi and see what her marching orders are for her troops in the House and what the penalty is if they go against her. Believe me, they don't last long.
Yeah.
So this other example, I told you, I think, yesterday that a court in New York had ruled that a bar owner was within his rights to kick a guy out of his bar for wearing a Donald Trump hat, a Make America Great hat, and that the court said that political belief is not a protected class, and he can discriminate them against them as he will. Well, this bar owner now says he's received nearly two dozen death threats since the incident. Really? People are threatening this guy because he kicked a guy out of a bar? We are in a heap of disagreement in this country, and Matt Walsh is right. We don't have anything in common anymore.
Yeah, I frankly think the bar owner should be able to do that, just like a Christian baker has the right not to decide that he wants to do a cake for a gay wedding. And death threats, I mean, this is, I don't care what side of the aisle it's coming from. It's kind of a no-brainer. I mean,
I'm sorry, but sometimes I'm a little skeptical of death threats, claims.
Yeah.
And even because anybody can just say that.
Right.
And they automatically get the sympathy of people. But you know what I'm saying? I'm not pro death threat. Don't get me wrong, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah. You mean they exaggerate?
Yeah. How many death threats has he gotten?
200. Nearly two dozen.
Oh, two dozen.
Dozen.
Death threats.
Okay. Is that like I'm going to come down there and
they didn't list them.
Beat your head in.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
He's just saying he's got them. So, you know, should be somebody anyway. Anyway, to your point, your overall arching point is Matt Walsh's point, and that is we live in a very divisive country, and it's been that way for a while, you know, and unless you have national revival in this country, which we're praying for, spiritual Christian revival, probably going to get worse.
Right.
And you know, the liberal, progressives, the secular progressives, and not all of them, don't get me wrong, not all of them, but that worldview lends itself to no standards at all when it comes to behavior. And they can say and do anything they want to, and there's no penalty to pay really for it. I'll give you an example. Madonna says she wants to burn down the White House the day after the president is inaugurated. Blow it up.
Yeah.
Blow up the White House. That's at a big rally with hundreds of thousands of people in Washington, D.C. There's nobody bats an eye. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Nobody bats an eye on the left. On the left. So because that's it, in their minds, even though many of them wouldn't admit it, it is acceptable to think that way because they hate President Trump and conservatives so much they want to see them annihilated. You know what I'm saying? We, on the other hand, have to obey a higher standard. Our higher standard, we as Christians, we can't engage in that kind of talk.
Right.
Even if the other side does.
Right.
We can't. And if we do, we understand it's wrong in the eyes of God.
Yes.
So we have to guard ourselves against thinking thoughts or saying things that are,
violent and hateful. I mean,
which are sin.
Yeah.
But they don't believe, but the other side doesn't believe in sin.
Right.
Except, you know, if you question global warming.
Yeah.
That is a sin.
That's the unforgivable
sin. Mortal
sin. Yeah.
That is a mortal sin. But you get my point here?
Yeah, right.
You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues. You got 2 minutes, Steve. Go.
Ed, I want to give you a choice. Would you like to end with a Snowflake or a Russia Files story?
Russia Files, just
well,
like
there
a good
it is.
Music.
This is from the Russia Files.
Now, Brent. Come on, Brent.
You gotta give
all right.
More than that.
Thank you.
That's the Russian. Is that the Russian national anthem?
National anthem, yeah. All right, that's good.
Sung by sopranos and tenors.
So the reason I bring it up, it really has little to do with Russia, but that the United States and some of the college campuses are becoming more like Russia. Central Ohio Worker Center, in partnership with the Young Democratic Socialists of America and with the cooperation of Ohio State University, are creating a course on deportation defense training. And we'll give an understanding of the best way we can help prevent deportations, protect the undocumented worker in our community, and resist ICE.
This is a class at Ohio State?
It's a program to help at Ohio State to help undocumented illegal immigrants.
Now, that is a stretch to make this a Russia file story.
Don't you think
I
that's
appreciate the effort.
Yeah, well, thank you. I kind of knew that's where you go. I did have a snowflake story ready, but I thought that was a
moment. Is it long? We get 45 seconds.
Well, okay, so the snowflake, this is Reed College.
All right, this is a snowflake file.
From the snowflake file.
Hey, 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 snowflake.
Snowflake.
Reed College in Portland, Oregon. The students want all European authors banned from the campus as reparations for Humanities 110 Histories, that's the class, erasing of history of people of color, especially black people. So now, no European, no white authors at all, ever, in humanities. That's what they're demanding.
Gone.
Shakespeare's out.
Where is this?
Reed College, which is a very liberal college in Portland, Oregon. I lived near it at one point.
Wow.
Well, may their tribe decrease.
There you go.
That's
their knowledge sure will.
Yes, they will.
Political correctness and secular progressivism just lends itself to these kind of insane agendas, if you will. All right. And oftentimes they're unchallenged because everybody's scared to. Steve, thank you so much for your contribution to
my
this
pleasure.
Program. Ed, thank you.
My pleasure as always.
Our thanks to Fred and Brent Creeley for being on the operating board today. And we shall see you back here tomorrow, folks. Have a great day.